There's a question this morning that I would like to put in front of you on this Easter Sunday. And the question is this. What is one thing in your life that you think could never change? What is something in your life that you believe right now could never change? Is there something that keeps you up at night? Wondering if this one thing would change, then everything else would be better. Do you have the courage to name it this morning? As I think about it, there may be addictions in our lives that we don't believe we could ever break. Perhaps there's attitudes. It's just the way I am. That'll never change. Perhaps it's your self-esteem, your body image. Maybe there's some relational conflict in your life. You have fear, worry, anxiety. That'll never change. What is one thing in your life that you think will never change? And then think about this. What is something that you would have to believe in order for that thing to change? Inside your bulletins this morning, you're going to find a note card. And I would ask you to find that blank card. And this card is for you today. I'm going to ask you to pull it out. And I want you to look at that card. This card is not for me. It's not for the person sitting next to you. It is a card just for you. And if you have the courage to do so this morning, I'm going to ask that you think about what is one thing that you believe will never change. And I want you to write that down on that card. Keep it close. Write it down very small, whatever you need to. Write it down and then fold that card and keep it in your hand. Now I'm going to do this as well. What is one thing in your life that you feel will never change? I'm going to ask you to take that and just hold on to that. We'll talk about that later in the message. But as you take a moment, think about what is something in your life that will never change in your mind, just so insurmountable. And do you have the courage to name it this morning and to write it down? As you're doing that, I ask you to put those cards aside. And if you want, you can pick up the Pew Bible in front of you, and we're going to look this morning at Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, which is found on page 1706 of your Pew Bibles. So take the cards and put them aside, hold on to them, put them in your pocket. We'll bring them back in a little bit. But for now, we're looking at Acts chapter 9, the first 19 verses. And as we move to the message, let me just pray. God, on this Resurrection Sunday, we pray that you would take these thoughts that we've already had this morning about things that are so hard for us, something that we don't believe would ever change. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to us through this story that we're about to read and show us truly what resurrection is. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to set up the story before I read it for you. We're going to be reading this morning about Saul. And Saul is later known as Paul in the Bible many times as he travels. But at this point in our story, we know him as Saul. Saul is a Pharisee. He's a young man who his whole mission, his only purpose, is to take down the church. He is Jewish. He's got Roman citizenship. And his whole role in life is to take down the church. He was a religiously sanctioned hitman is what he was. He was out for vengeance and blood. He wanted to take down the followers of Jesus. He wanted to persecute them because Saul believed that they were a cancer. Saul is a religious man. He believes greatly in the law and the Torah. He was following his religion. And you're going to see this morning how Paul experienced a radical new beginning. That's this term, the title of our sermon series here, New Beginnings. And Saul's story gives us hope that beginnings can burst out of any ground, no matter how hard, no matter how challenging, how deep they're buried in the ground, beginnings can happen. And so read along or listen as you want to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, following Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He did not eat, and he did not drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place hands on him to restore his sight.' 'Lord,' Ananias answered, 'I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the place, to the house, and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you in the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. See, here's the thing. Saul believes that he's right. Saul believes that he is right. He loves God. He's following the law. And he thinks he's in the right when he's attacking the church. In his mind, the church is a cancer to everything that he believes. And so he is doing his part to rid it from humanity. In his mind, he is right to act swiftly and harshly because it is justice. But then God meets him. God meets him on this road and wakes him up to a different reality. God needs Saul's attention. And so how do you get the attention of someone who's not following the way you want them to go? You blind them. And that's what God does. He blinds Saul immediately. Now, if I'm Paul or Saul, I'm saying, whoa, wait a second here. Something's not fair. I mean, if you think about it, if you put yourself in this story, you can almost feel Saul's confusion, can't you? What is God doing? If you were Saul, wouldn't you be saying, I'm on a mission from God. I've gone to the chief priests, the people who God has blessed, whose point he's put them in authority over us. I've gone to them. I've gotten letters. I'm going out. I'm eradicating the bad guy. I'm serving God. And now I'm blind? What's going on? Something doesn't make sense. This isn't fair. Hold on to that thought for a moment. I want to look at another character in the story, Ananias. Ananias, God appears to him and says, Ananias, I want you to go on a very dangerous journey. I want you to go on a dangerous mission for me. And Ananias scratches his head saying, yeah, I don't think so. That doesn't sound like fun to me. God, I've heard about this guy, Saul. He's imprisoning people. He's torturing people. He's killing people. The church is literally fighting for its very survival, and God wants Ananias to go to the lead guy who's doing all of the hurting, throwing everyone in jail or worse, and he wants him to do what? Help him? Pretend you're Ananias. What if you were him? How would you respond? Would you be able to trust God's voice? And would you go? What does it mean for us to trust God, to believe that things can change? That things can happen in such a way that a person or a situation might change? Here's a follow-up question. What if Ananias had not trusted God? What if Ananias had said, yeah, no, not doing it. I'm going to stay here in my comfort zone. I'm in my house. Send somebody else. What if he hadn't gone to pray for Saul? What would have happened then? We really don't know a great deal about Ananias, but what we do know is that he was a devout follower of Jesus, and as such, he was trying to live out what he believed. Personally, I don't believe that Ananias confidently walked into this situation. I don't believe that he left his prayer time with God and said, all right, well, God's got my back, and he went in, walking in to find Paul. I think that as he searched for Paul, his knees were knocking. I think he had butterflies in his stomach. I think his palms were sweaty. I think he was scared out of his mind. But the point is that Ananias went. He went out of obedience, trusting God, and that obedience paid off. Today is Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. And resurrection happens when someone dies and rises up changed. Hear me say that. Resurrection happens when someone dies and rises up changed. What once was dead, decaying, and worthless has become alive, vibrant, and desirable. In Ananias' case, his fear had to die inside of him so that faith could be resurrected. He had to surrender his anxiety and the uncertainty of not knowing what would happen next when he met Saul, and trust in God for his future. And remember a moment ago when I asked you to hold on to that feeling about Saul. I said, what might Saul have been thinking? Imagine being Saul and thinking, Lord, I have you on my side. I'm doing all of your work. I'm following in your footsteps. And now I'm blind? What gives? On the road to Damascus, Saul had a resurrection moment. Something in Saul died in this experience with God. For 3 days, Saul was blind. For 3 days, he didn't eat or drink anything. What do you think he thought about during that time? What would he have spent his moments pondering? I'm not exactly sure, but I can tell you this. When his sight was restored, he was baptized as a follower of Jesus. Something changed inside of Paul, inside of Saul. Resurrection. Resurrection. Resurrection happens when someone dies and rises up changed. Now, earlier I asked you to take those cards, and I asked you to write down something that you feel could never be changed in your life. Are you willing to ask God for a resurrection moment in your life this morning? What needs to die inside of you, and what needs to be raised up inside? God will do it for you if you let him. The whole point of Jesus coming and dying on a cross for our sins, the whole point of Easter Sunday, the whole point of what we do every single day, is to redeem the broken parts of our lives. That's why Jesus came, to redeem the broken parts of us. And so today, if you want resurrection in your life, I'm going to ask you to take those cards. And just as you're here right now, I'm going to ask you to just rip them up. Take them and rip them into as many pieces as you can get them. Take them and rip them up with me and hold on to them. And as you've ripped them, I'm just going to ask you to shred them into tiny pieces. And in a moment, I'm going to count to three. 3 days. 3 days Jesus was in the tomb. 3 days he was dead and buried. 3 days, I'm going to give you to the count of three. Because on the third day, he rose again from the dead. I'm going to ask you to take those cards. And on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to throw them up in the air. Throw them up. I don't care where they go. All over the sanctuary. That's where they're going to go. And you just let them fall. All right? With me? All right, so here we go. On the count of three. One, as high as you can get them. A candy bar to somebody who can reach the ceiling. One, two, three. Send them up. There you go. Let them go. Let them on the floor. Let them go down. I want to read something for you. I want to read something for you. Saul, who, as I said before, is also known as the Apostle Paul in the Scripture, he wrote the following words to a church in Corinth many years after this. You've just experienced Saul's conversion when he became a Christian. Now I want you to hear something that he's written years and years down the road. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And at last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Friends, today is the beginning of our sermon series called Beginnings. The next 7 days of your life, the next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at beginnings that God has in store for us. And everyone is invited to come join us for those messages. Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be identifying beginnings where God invites us to experience genuine spiritual transformation. If God could take a man like Saul, who was killing the church, literally, and turn him into a man who could praise Jesus the way he did to Corinth, then there's something that God can teach us all about new beginnings in our lives. Over the next few weeks, we're going to study the story of creation in Genesis, where God created the heavens and the earth. He created plants and animals and people, and he called it, everybody, good. God created and he called it good. We often overlook this simple 4-letter word, but it's so powerful. God called it good. You've been called good by your Creator. And Jesus genuinely cares about what happens to you. Whatever it was that you wrote down on that piece of paper, whatever you jotted down this morning, God knows your hurt. God knows your heartache. God knows your pain and your longing and your desires. God knows your hopes and your dreams. He knows what you've prayed about. And he knows that you have tried everything you can to fix that situation on your own. But resurrection is when something dies, so that something full of life can begin. So this Easter, let the pain, let the anxiety, let the worry and the fear, let it all die in you today. Resurrection has to start somewhere. So let it begin in you today.